Today's daf is Shabbos daf Nun, and we are five lines from the bottom of daf Mem Tes Amid Beis, the two dots, Begizei Tzemer, Ve'in Metaltlin. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Zara Aliza, Avram ben Gittel, Yechiel Yosef ben Zara, Yael bas Bela, Rachel Maita bas Zara, Yitzchak Eliyo ben Chaya Zara, Avram Yekasil ben Gittel, and Avram Kaddish ben Malka Bela. Today's daf is also being learned to Ilu Nishmas Shloim Zev ben Avram Yitzchak, Meir ben Zev, Mordechai Ziskin ben Meir Elchanan, Leah bas Yaakov ben Sion, and Yaakov ben Yecheskel. So we're continuing to discuss the halachos of Hatmana and the halachos of Muktza. Specifically, the halacha that says that one is not allowed to do hatmana with food that is hot, even Erev Shabbos, b'davar ha-moisef hevel. So if you want to take your hot food, Erev Shabbos, wrap it in something that will make it hotter, even if it's only a little bit hotter, the halacha is you can't do it even on Erev Shabbos. That you're going to say, why shouldn't I be able to do it on Erev Shabbos? Shabbos, I get it. But on Erev Shabbos, what could possibly be wrong with doing something like this on Erev Shabbos? I could cook on Erev Shabbos. I could bake on Erev Shabbos. Why shouldn't I be able to do hatmana b'davar ha-moisef hevel b'Erev Shabbos? So the Gemara in Daf Lamed Hey said, the reason is because the Chum were concerned if you would do atmana b'davar ha-moisef hevel, you may do atmana with coals. Anytime you have food in very close association to coals on Shabbos is a concern. Shema yichate gecholim, so it's all a gezerah that you may come to do atmana with coals and then come to stoke the coals, that the Chachamim said atmana is going to be a problem. In other words, for the same reason in the beginning of Perek Kira, we had halachas regarding shehiyah and chazara, and they were related to a gezerah. Shema yichate gecholim. There's another halacha, and that is you can't do hatmana even on Erev Shabbos, b'davar ha-moisef hevel. The Mishnah on Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph gave examples of things that are not considered moisef hevel. As a result, you can do hatmana on Erev Shabbos. The Mishnah said, toimnim b'shlochin, you're allowed to do hatmana in animal hides. Additionally, toimnim b'gizei tzemer, you're allowed to do hatmana with wool. And the Mishnah said, however, there is a distinction between shlochin and gizei tzemer. Meaning, if you do atmana with shlochin, when it comes time to serving the food, unwrapping the food and bringing it to the table, there's no issue because shlochin are not mukta. However, if you're going to do atmana with gizei tzemer, these wool shearings, there you're going to run into a little bit of an issue when it comes to serving the food. The reason is because the gizei tzemer are mukta, meaning ein metaltlin oisan. And being that you can't be metaltlin, so when it comes to serving it, it's a little bit of a situation. What are you supposed to do? What can and can you not do? So the Mishnah said it's machloikis, Rabbi Lozman, and Azariah, and the Chachamim, and that's something that we'll either get to in the end of today's daf or in the beginning of tomorrow's daf. But for now, the Gemara is going to begin with this halacha. The Mishnah said, gizei tzemer, ein metaltlin. Zok de Gemara. Omar Rava. Rava said, lo yishonu. This said, the Mishnah said, you're not allowed to be metalto gizei tzemer. In other words, these wool shearings are considered mukso. That's only true. Shaloi toman behen. If you didn't use the gizei tzemer for atmana, aval toman behen. But once you use it for atmana, metaltlin oisan. At that point, halach is, you're allowed to carry it. In other words, Rava understood that the reason gizei tzemer are mukso is because it's a keli shemalachta le'iser. What do you do with gizei tzemer? You make things from it. So if you're going to weave clothing or you're going to make some other object from it, it's going to involve a malacha. As a result, it's a keli shemalachta le'iser. It's primary uses for iser. It's not something you're allowed to be metaltel on Shabbos. That's one of the subcategories of muktzah. So Rava said that if you have stam gizei tzemer, it's muktzah. But once you use the gizei tzemer for hatmana, so you show that you're not using it for iser, using it for heter. So to the extent that you're using it for heter, it's no longer viewed halachically as a keli shemalachta le'iser. So from that standpoint, you would be able to be metaltel gizei tzemer that you use for hatmana. So the Gemara says, Esevei hahum me rabbonon bar this was a fellow who had come to Beis Medrash for the first day. So this was a frisha yeshiva bacher. This is his first day in yeshiva, and he asked Akasha on what Rava said. In fact, he asked a very, very obvious question. He asked the question from the Mishnah that we just mentioned. That if you want to do atmana with gizei tzemer, it's okay, because it's viewed as a dover she'ina mois of hevel. However, you have to make sure when you unwrap the food, you serve it, you're not going to be metaltel it. Why? Because it's mukta, case of the oysa. So what are you supposed to do? If you have a cover to your pot, If there's a handle to the cover, grab onto the handle. Like this, you'll flip the Gizei Tzemer off. You'll never really have to be metalta. But what do you see from here? That even though you use the Gizei Tzemer for Atmana, the Gizei Tzemer is still Mukta. Rava said, Loi Shano, the only time Gizei Tzemer is Mukta, if you never use it for Atmana. Aval Taman Bahen, metalta noisa. At that point, you would be able to carry it. You see clearly from the Mishnah, not that way. This was this Talmud, the Barbe Yoima's question that he asked on what Rava said. So the Gemara says that the Amiram heard his question and they were stumped. So they said, Eli Itma Hachi Itma, we have no choice, but we have to tweak what Rava said. Meaning Rava wasn't there. This happened after Rava. But the Chachamim said, there's no way Rava said something that contradicts the Mishnah. So what then did Rava say? What Rava was distinguishing was with not between whether it was used for Atmana or wasn't used for Atmana, but rather whether the Gizei Tzemer were actually designated to be used for Atmana or not. Meaning Rava said that if you weren't miyached the Gizei Tzemer for Atmana, then it's a kelish melachtei le'iser, then it's mukta, even if you used it for atmana. Avo yichad non le'atmana, but if you miyach le'atmana, metalta le'nosan, then it's going to be mukta. If that's the case, Rava's halacha doesn't contradict what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah is talking about where you were miyached le'atmana, you punked, emphasis on punked, used it for atmana. You punked, used it for atmana, it's still a kelish melachtei le'iser, so the halacha is in metalta le'nosan. Rava said a halacha, that if you were miyached le'atmana, so now it's not a kelish melachtei le'iser, at that point the halacha is, you'd be able to be metalta. Says the Gemara, Itmar Nami, Kiyasa Rovin, Omar Rabbi Yaakov, Omar Rab Asi Ben Shol, Omar Rebbe, Loishanu Elisha Yichidin Latmana, Avitachan Latmana Metalton Oisam. So this already traces itself back to Rebbe. So it comes out, Rabbi wasn't even saying such a big Kiddush. Rebbe, one of the great Tanam, had already said this. Ravina said a different shot in Rava. He said, no, Rava meant what he said, and he said what he meant. He said that if a person would take Gizei Tzemer, and he would use it for Atmana, at that point it wouldn't be Mukta anymore. So what's the Kasha? The Kasha is what Ahumer Rabbanim Barbe Yoimei asked. He said, it's not like the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if you do Atmana with Gizei Tzemer, it's okay. It's a Dovash Eini Mois of Hevel. But you have to make sure that you're creative when you take the pot out, because you can't touch it, because it's Mukta. I thought you would just used it for Atman. If you use it for Atman, it shouldn't be Mukta anymore. So Ravina said that the Mishnah is talking about something specific. It's talking about Gizei Tzemer that would Bishel Heftek Shano. It was, you know, in a warehouse. It was something that was going to be sold in a commercial setting. Being that it was going to be sold in a commercial setting, that's more chamor. Over there, we assume that just because you use it for atmana, it doesn't negate the fact that it's a klitsha melachta l'isa. This is something that somebody trades in. It's something that somebody makes money off of. So over there, the Gizei Tzemer would remain a klitsha melachta l'isa unless you were miyachid etanya nami hachi. We have a price that supports this teretz as well. Gizei Tzemer shall heftik in metalton noisam. The Gizei Tzemer specifically of heftik, it can't be metalton. V'im hiskinu balabayis l'shtamish behen. If, however, the balabayis had a mindset, he made up his mind, he's going to use it, then metalton. And it's at that point that you would be able to use it. Bottom line is, what comes out from this discussion is this shaila of what exactly Rava meant when he said, Leishanu elo shalai taman bahen, aval taman bahen metalfa noisam. What also emerges is a little bit of a shaila. How to read the Mishnah? The Mishnah said clearly, "Begizei tzemer ve'in metalfa noisan." Are we talking about ordinary gizei tzemer, or like Ravina said, specifically bishel heftik shanu? But if you think about it from a high level, what comes out is a very fundamental question in the laws of mukta, and that is, if you have a kli shemelachtoi le'iser, and now you go and use it on Shabbos for something that's mutter, does that now make it not mukta anymore? Does that negate its status as a klisha melachta le'iser? Or just using it for heter is not enough? What you would have to do is you'd have to be miyachid for a davar mutter. If you'd be miyachid for a davar mutter, then it would be okay. Now, the specific example, the detail in which this discussion was had, was with regards to Gizei Tzemer. Gizei Tzemer ordinarily was used for dvarim asuru. As a result, it wakes up in the morning as a klisha melachta le'iser. The question is, if you used it for hatmana, which is a davar mutter, because it's a davar she'en emayis of hevel, so the question is, does that now make it a klisha melachta, quote unquote, you could be metalted or no? You would actually have to say l'shem yichud hineni muchan umzuman to change what I'm going to use this gizei tzemer for in order for it to be treated as a klisha melachta leheter. And the Gemara here, really, until the bottom of the Yomid, is going to bring different examples and different contexts in which different tanoim and amiroim debated this question. Zogt de Gemara. Tana Rabba Bar Bar Chana Kamei de Rav. Rabba Bar Bar Chana came to Rav and he told him over the following braisa. Chor Yoshal Dekel, Shagadron Le'etzim. If someone has Chor Yoshal Dekel, Rashi says these are Anofim Koshin Ke'etz. They come from a dekel, which is a palm tree. So they're lulavim that became really, really hard. So people used to use them for wood, use it as firewood, things that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. As a result, Chor Yoshal Dekel, like Gizei Tzemer, wake up in the morning as being muktza. It's a klisha malach delitzer. So Rav Rachana told Rav, I heard a braisa that says if someone has chor yoshal dekel v'nim l'chaleim liyeshivo, and the person decides that he doesn't want to use it anymore for firewood, but rather he wants to make a chair from it. He wants to sit on it, just to sit on it the way it is. So tzorich l'kasha, it's going to remain a klisha malach delitzer unless you do something physical to the etzim. So if you tie them together, you do something physical to change its status, then it would become a klisha malach de lehetta. But unless you do that, it would remain a klisha malach de lesser. Shimon Gamliel, Shimon Gamliel said, "Ein tzarich l'kasha." You don't have to do a maisa. As long as you have in mind that you want to use it for a davar mutter, that in and of itself would be enough. And then the Gemara says, Rav Brachana told Rav, "Who tani lavu amalah halacha k'rav Shimon Gamliel." I hold halachas like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So again, we have a similar discussion. If someone has a klisha malach de lesser, in this case, it's not gizei tzemer, it's these chor yoshal dekel, and you want to make it mutter. So is it enough that you have in mind that you want it to be mutter? Or do you even have to do more than that? You physically have to do something, and unless you physically do something, it would remain osis. The Gemara says, "Itmar Rav Amar." Rav said, "Koich." As it relates to this question of Chor Yoshal Dekel, Rav said, "Alach is you have to do a ma'isa. If you don't do a ma'isa, it remains a klisha malach de leisa." Shmuel Amar Shmuel said, "Koich." It's enough if you have a machshava. Rav Asi Amar. Rav Asi was a third shy. He said, "Yoishev." Or Rashi's Gira says, "Yeishev." You should sit on it erev Shabbos. And if you do that, afal pishalei kisher, afal pishalei kisher, you don't have to do anything else. But you do have to sit on it in Erev Shabbos. In other words, we have three opinions how you would make these chor yoshal dekel, which are klisha malach de leser, into a klisha malach de leheter. Rav said, kosher, you have to physically change its status. Do something that you would probably do if you were turning it into a chair. Machshava alone is not enough. Shmuel said machshava. Rav Asi said it actually has to be a chair. You have to use it as a chair. Erev Shabbos, by the way. If you use it as a chair Erev Shabbos, then it's going to be okay. Says the Gemara. Bishleim Rav hu dama ketana kam. Meaning, Rav Bar Bachana mentioned to Rav this braisa. The braisa had a machloikis tanoim. A Tanakama and Rav Shimon Gamliel regarding Chor Yoshal Dekel, which are Klisha Malachti Leiser, Nimlach Aleim Liyeshiva. The Tanakama said Tzarech Lekasher. Rav Shimon Gamliel said Ain Tzarech Lekasher. So you had two shitas in the Tanon, three shitas amongst the Amirah. So what's the Gemara's question going to be? Two Amirah match up with the two shitas in the Tanon, but there's one Amirah that's going to be left without a Tana to support him. So again, says the Gemara, Bishleim Rav Udamek Tanakam, Shmuel Nami Udamek Rav Shimon Gamliel, El Rav Asi Udamek Keman. Who's Rav Asi? So the Gemara says, Udamek Yai Tana. Even though in that Braisa there was no Tana who supported what Rav Asi said, but there's another Braisa. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Yoitzin Bepekurin Ubetzipa Bezman Shetzavon Beshemen Vekorchon. So we're discussing a person that wants to go outside on Shabbos with some sort of wound cure on him. So he had like a little bit of wool or something that's on him to cover a wound. So the question is, could you wear it on Shabbos or could you not wear it on Shabbos? Now really there's a few things you have to take into consideration. The first thing is refuah b'Shabbos. A person's not allowed to be involved in the Yoni Rufu B'Shabbos. So if you have wound care on you, that in of itself could be an issue. For whatever reason, that's not an issue in our Gemara. Another thing you have to take into consideration is Haitzah. Is it considered carrying? Is it not considered carrying? Assuming this person wants to go out into a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim or even a Carmelist, so he has a Haitzah issue. So Haitzah is a problem. You have to know if that's going to be an issue or not. And then the third thing you have to take into consideration is this Muktzah. And obviously, we're learning the halachas of Muktzah, so we're going to be concerned with the Muktzah component. So again, says the Braisa, you're allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. There's no problem with Rufua B'Shabbos. There's no problem with Haitzah. There's no problem with Muktzah, assuming the Shemen on it. Meaning, assuming it's actually healing your wound. If, however, you didn't put the little geschmirchts on it, then you're not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. If, however, you went out, even if you were loitzav, it's going to be mut. Now, Pasha, when you read this braisa, it sounds a little bit like we're dealing the ikker with a haitzah issue, meaning the difference between whether you did put the oil on it, you didn't put the oil, you put the ointment, you didn't put the oil, ointment, is more from the perspective of
Hoitza. But Tosfos says that can't be pshat in the Braisa. Because if that's pshat in the Braisa, it has nothing to do with our sugya. So Tosfos says, Lav dafka, dibra maskal avaloitzavu, ein yoitz, and afil l'taltal masr. You have to say that in the event that you didn't put any shemen or mashicha on it, not only wouldn't you be able to take it into a rishus rabbin, you wouldn't even be able to walk dalaramas with it in your house. There'd be a tiltal problem. Yet, what did the Braisa say? Even though you can't be metaltal, why? Because it's mukta. But if you were metaltal mibay yoim, it's going to be okay. So who said this idea that if you take something that really should be mukta, but you want to change its status, the way to change its status is by being mishtamish with it mibay yoim? This is Rav Asi. So says the Gemara that even though Rav Asi had no support to his shita in the brisa that Rabbi Bar Bachana told Rav, but there is a brisa right here where you do see Rav Asi's idea. I'm Rav Asi. Rav Asi said, "Avana namitinina." I have another brisa to support Rav. Akash al gabi amito. If somebody has straw on a bed, so straw is typically considered a klisha malachti lesser, and as a result, it's usually mukta. So you come. You walk into your bedroom and you go to your bed and there's straw there. So now what? So the halach is loyin and enabiyot. You're not allowed to just remove it. It's mukta. Avol minan noy begufoy. You can shake it off with your guf, meaning do it in some indirect way. Avol him oyo Michael behema. Let's say you found Michael behema on your bed. Oishayol of karik sadim ibay yoim. Or if there was straw, but the straw was used as a pillow, it was used to somehow enhance your sleeping experience from the Ba'ud Yoim, it was there already on Shabbos, and it's not Muktzah. So what do you see from here? Shema so this is a raya again to this idea that even though straw is a klisha malachte l'isser, but you can convert it to a klisha malachte l'heter, what's the conversion process? Use it Erev Shabbos. Use it Erev Shabbos for the Dava Mutter, that's the way you do it. Again, so just to stop for a second and recap where we are. So we have three shitas with regards to taking a klisha malachte l'isser and converting it to a klisha malachte l'heter. How exactly does that go? It was a machloikis between Rav, Shmuel, and Rav Asi. G'doyle, g'doyle amayrav. Rav said if you want to change it, you have to physically do something to it. So for example, in the case of Chariya Shaldekel, kosher, you should tie it together. But if you don't do something physical to it, you can't just convert it with your machshava. Can't just you need to do something physical. That's the way it works. Shmuel says, just have machshava, choshev, that's going to be enough. Rav Asi said, use it Erev Shabbos, use it Erev Shabbos. That's the way you do it. The Gemara had brought a braisa, which also mentioned this. And in the braisa, there weren't three shittas, there were two shittas. Rav and Shmuel's shita respectively. It was the shita of the Tanakama and the shita of Shimon Gamliel. Tanakama said what Rav said, that you have to physically do something. Rav Shimon Gamliel said, what Shmuel said, it's enough that you have a machshava. How could Rav Asi go not like the Tanakama, not like Rav Shimon Gamliel? So we brought a braisa and another braisa that supported Shitas Rav Asi. Says the Gemara, going back to the original braisa, the machlokes between the Tanakama and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Man Tana the Polygalev Rav Shimon Gamliel. So in every braisa, the Tanakama is somebody else. Very often the Gemara doesn't really try to figure out who the Tanakama is. But in our sugi, the Gemara wants to know who is the Tanakama that argued with Rav Shimon Gamliel. Says the Gemara, you know who it is. It's Rav Chanina ben Akiva. It's Rav Chanina, the son of Akiva. Chios Rav Dimi Yom Asa Iri Yom Rav Chanina. Pam Achtalav Rav Chanina ben Akiva. The Mokam Ach. Rav Chanina ben Akiva went someplace on Shabbos. Umatza Chariya Shaldekel Shagodin L'Shumetzen. And the place that he went to had these Chariyoy Shaldekel. They were harvested for wood. V'amalam L'Talmidam. And he told this Talmidim, Tzu'u V'chishvu. Go and have in mind to use it for Shabbos. This was Erev Shabbos, not yet Shabbos. Kadesh Neshav Aleim L'Mocher. I'm going to want to use it tomorrow. And because I want to use it tomorrow, we have to have a machshava. So he told us Talmidim to go do it for him. He said, have a machshava that we're going to use this on Shabbos as a cheer. If we can use it as a cheer, it won't be a problem of mukta. Now, the Gemara says, Rav Chanina reported, V'lo yadana, I don't remember, Ibeis HaMishta Hava, Ibeis HaAvel Hava. Meaning, Rav Chanina ben Akiva did this in either a Beis Avel or a Beis Mishta. What was the point? The point is that the Olam was busy there. They were either tarred with the Beis HaMishta, people used to get married on Erev Shabbos, or they were tarred at the Beis Avel. And as a result, he said, it's okay to do this machshava. Meaning, it sounds like, had it not been a Beis Avel or a Beis Mishta, a machshava wouldn't have been enough. Midakamri Beis Mishta, Havo Beis Avel, Havo, Davka Beis Avel, Beis Mishta, the Tridi, Davka over there because the people were tarred. Avel Hacha, but ordinarily, Kosher in like Kosher Loi, that wouldn't be enough. You would actually have to do a Maisa. So you want to know who's the Tanakama that holds you have to do a Maisa? It's the Tana Reb Chanina ben Akiva, Amar Rav Yehuda. Continuing, Mi Inyan Le Inyan Ba Issa Inyan. Machna Sadam Leiku Pasayaf. A person can bring an amount of offer into his house, Erev Shabbos, and then on Shabbos he'll be able to do whatever he wants to do with it. Offer is ordinarily mukta, like Gizei Tzemer, like the
Chariyo Shaldekel, offer is Muksa. So if you want to convert offer, what do you do? So Rav Yehuda said, it's very simple. Just bring it into your house Erev Shabbos, and that's going to be enough. Zokti Gemara, Darish, Marzutra, Mishmeda, Marzutra, Rabba, Bushichel, Karenzam. That's only true if you put it in the corner of your room. But if you would take that offer that you want to use and put it on the floor, so then it's the same offer which is always Muksa, meaning offer is Muksa because it's nothing. It's Muksa Machmas Gufay. So if you're going to just put it on the floor, people are going to trample on it. So you didn't change anything with the offer. You literally just moved it from point A to point B. You'd have to be miyacheded on some level, and then it wouldn't be mukt. I'm Rabban Kamed Rapapa. Kaman, who does he hold like? He must hold like Reb Shimon Gamliel. That it's enough to have a machshava. You don't have to do a maisa. Because the ik Rabbanon. Because if you get a Tamid Rav Yudah like the Rabbanon, I'm Rabbin a maisa. Don't you need a maisa? And there was no maisa over here. So the Gemara says, I'm the Rapapa. So Rapapa said, no, I feel the Rabbanon. Could be at the coming Rabbanon to be a maisa. When the Rabbanon hold you need to do a maisa, El Midi Dabar Avidim maisa. That's only when you can do a maisa. Avol Midi. But if it's something where it's not possible to do a ma'isa, then it could be over there, you don't have to do a ma'isa. In other words, the Gemara is saying a new chiddush over here, that even according to the Tanakama, who was the Tanakama? Reb Chanina Bar Akiva. Rav, who said that if you want to convert the Klisha Malachta Le'Isser into a Klisha Malachta Le'Heter, you have to physically do something to it. The only time that's true is if it's possible to physically do something to it. But if it's not possible to physically do something, it could be over there, everyone is going to hold that it's okay. And what was the Raya? Raya is from Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda said that if you want to take Afar, which is Mukta, and you want to make it Mutter, all you have to do is bring it into your house. Bring it into your house. I thought you have to do a Maisa. Oh, must be that the only time you have to do a Maisa where it's possible to do a Maisa. But if it's not possible to do a Maisa, you don't have to do a Maisa. The Tosis Rosh on this Gemara asks an obvious question. L'chura, didn't he do a ma'isa? What did this person do? He took the offer from his backyard and he brought it into his house. Why isn't that considered a ma'isa? You're telling me, I have a raya from Rabbi Yehuda, that you don't have to do a ma'isa to convert it from mukta to not mukta. Why? Because you see, bringing offer into your house is a conversion. And there was no ma'isa. Faita Taisis Rosh, what about bringing it into your house? So he says, V'achnasa she'echnisu l'bayis lasis b'itzrochiv lo'y choshev ma'isa el machshava. Moving something from point A to point B doesn't constitute a ma'isa. I think this is a tremendous makar to Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, that says not once, but he says it again and again throughout Shas, that Haitzah is a malacha gerua, even though there are 39 malachas, but really there's 38 and one. The one is Haitzah. Haitzah is a malacha gerua. Why? Because the whole concept of a malacha is that you're creating something, you're doing something, chashev. Haitzah, what did you do? I moved something from point A to point B. And Tosfos says, what's the difference if I moved it from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid or from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim? Tosfos says, there's nothing really happening. So if there's nothing really happening from a standpoint of malacha, it's a malacha michudeshes, it's a malacha gerua. You see here that taking something from point A to point B is not called a ma'isa. It's not even a ma'isa in this rabbinic law of mukta, where you just have to do a little bit of a ma'isa to show that in addition to your machshava, even for that it's nothing. It's gerua. That's all I did is I moved it. Moving something from point A to point B is considered gerua from a malacha standpoint. That's Tosfos' chiddush in Shabbos Daf Beis Amud Aleph. In our sugya, it's not even considered a ma'isa as relates to mukta. But the Gemara just said a chiddush. The Gemara suggested that it could be the only time you'd have to do a ma'isa to convert is if it's possible to do a ma'isa. But if it's not possible to do a ma'isa, then you don't have to do a ma'isa. So the Gemara says, I think it's machlokes tanam. Bakol chofen asakelim. So we're talking about somebody that wants to clean his kelim. So the halacha is, you're allowed to use any material to clean kelim. Chutz mikli kesef begartikun. The only thing you can't do is this combination. You can't clean kli kesef together with gartikun. And the reason is, we're worried of memachik. Rashi says it's a concern for a malacha de raisa, you can end up being memachik, so this is a real problem. Says the Gemara, haneta v'chol mutter. Sounds like that if you want to use something else, even for kli kesef, not gartikun, you want to use neter, which is some sort of soap, v'chol or sand, it's going to be okay. Frank the Gemara v'tanya, we're going to the braisa, neta v'chol aser. So we have a stira. Is neta v'chol mutter, or is neta v'chol aser? So Gemara says, what would be the shayla? Now the assumption is it's v'shona memachik. So what's the shayla? Shayla probably is a mukta or not. So what's the shayla if it's mukta? Oh, my laba hakamilvaki, the marasav would be a maisa. Oh, my marasav would be a maisa. Netta v'chol ordinarily a mukta. If you want it to be not mukta, you'd have to convert it. How would you convert it?
There's no maisa you can do. Okay, so if you hold all you need is a machshava, that's fine. But if you hold you need a maisa, then l'chura there's no way to do a maisa. So maybe that's the shaila. The shaila is where it's not possible to do a maisa. Is it ma'akiv that I do a maisa? Or is it not ma'akiv to do a maisa? So maybe this chakira is precisely the machlokes between the two brides. But the Gemara says, Loi, there's no raya that that's what's going on over there. Maybe the kulam will all be in a maisa. Maybe everybody holds you don't need a maisa, like the Gemara suggested. If it's possible to do a maisa, you need a maisa. If it's not possible to do a maisa, you don't need to do a maisa. But like kasha, maybe the machloikis between those two brises is the machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Which machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? Machloikis that the Gemara keeps on coming back to throughout the Masechta. Dover she'enei mischaven mutter, or dover she'enei mischaven is also. Again, just by saying ha Rabbi Yehuda, ha Rabbi Shimon, the Masechta Shabbos really narrows it down to three things. Either they're discussing dover she'enei mischaven, or melacha she'enei tzricha legufa, or mukta. But says the Gemara, this is the dover she'enei mischaven shayla. How so? Ha Rabbi Yehuda, dama dover she'enei mischaven aser. The Braisa says it's not okay to use that to v'chol, because dover she'enei mischaven is aser. Meaning, it's not inevitable that you're going to be memachik. But you might be memachik. I mean that you might be memachik, even though you have no kavanah to be memachik. Davar she'enei mischaven is aser. So therefore, it'd be a problem. Har Rav Shimon Dama, Davar she'enei mischaven is what? The price says that it's okay. It's going according to Rav Shimon. Says the Gemara. V'mayu kimtul hadashar. The price that says you're allowed to use netav v'chol, we just said, is going according to Rav Shimon. It's not mukta. It's a question of davar she'enei mischaven now. Davar she'enei mischaven is mutter. Says the Gemara. Emes sefer. Look at the sefer. Aval layachav ben sara. You're now allowed to take the netav v'chol and use it on Shabbos to clean your hair. Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon, Mishra Shar, coin to Rav Shimon, that's a problem. I mean, what would be the problem with cleaning your hair with this material? The problem would be that you may pull your hair out. You may pull your hair out. You're not for sure going to. L'chura, it's totally really Rav Yudin Rav Shimon. If David Shimon Mishchaben is also, it'd be a problem. If David Shimon Mishchaben is mutter, it wouldn't be a problem. And the Gemara says, we know for sure Rav Shimon holds that when it comes to a chashasha pulling your hair out, it's a regular bona fide davish hanim eschaven. How do you know that? Now we learned in the Mishnah, nazir chayfei from a fast phase. So a nazir has to let his hair grow. He's not allowed to pull his hair out. And we have halacha that the nazir is allowed to clean his hair. Avalei soirek can use a hard, aggressive comb. But at the same time, if he wants to just wash his hair, he's allowed to do that. I might pull his hair out. The teretz is davish hanim eschaven. So if it's davish hanim eschaven regarding nazir, it's davish hanim eschaven regarding it's the same Rav Shimon. Shimon said, "As Allah can call it a regula." So it's the same davish hanim eschaven. So the Gemara says, "Elo hava hava Rav Yehuda." You have to say that brisa can't be Rav Shimon because the other part of Bryce doesn't work with Rav Shimon. So we're trying to figure out what the machloikis is. I can use netav v'chol to wash my hair. I can use netav v'chol. So, to rub the kalim. What's going on here? Is it mukta shayla? The Gemara's not happy with saying that. Elamai harab yudav harab Shimon. That doesn't work either. So the Gemara says, you have to say, Elahava harab Yehuda. Both are going to Rav Yehuda. V'chay tanoi libid Rav Yehuda. And it was a machloikis tanam alibid Rav Yehuda. What was the machloikis? Hai tanah libid Rav Yehuda savar. One time held the coin to Rav Yehuda, garer. That it's inevitably going to be an issue. Or at the very least, it might be an issue. I mean that it might be an issue. So it's a davar she'enei mischaven, it's going to be awesome. High time, Rabbi Yehuda Sava, like, he wasn't worried about it. So the machlokes was a little bit more balabatish, a little bit more what the metzius is. Is it going to be memachik, maybe, or it's not going to maybe be memachik? It comes down to whether it's a shayla of davar she'enei mischaven or not. But the Gemara is still not happy. But my yoikim to Rabbi Yehuda. So you tell me the two brises maybe are both going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Ema Seifa, take a look at the Seifa. The Seifa says, Avol pon of yodav raglov mutter. You're allowed to use it. So again, this brise is talking about a lot of things. It started off chofen as hakelim, chutz mikle kesef, begartik. This was the first brise that the Gemara mentioned. It was mashma from the brisa, then netav v'chol would be mutter. Then the Gemara brought another brisa that said netav v'chol would be aser. The brisa that said the netav v'chol is mutter said you're not allowed to use the netav v'chol to clean your hair. So you can use it to clean kalim, but not for your hair. Okay. And now we're saying, the brisa continues, pun of yadav ragla mutter. If you want to use it to wash your hands, your face, and your legs, then the halach is it would be mutter. Says the Gemara, why is it mutter? Hama'aver seyer, why aren't you worried that you're going to remove some of your hair? Now, if you would tell me it's going according to Rav Shimon, it would be a davar she'enei mischaven. But we just figured out that it's all Rabbi Yehuda. So if it's all Rabbi Yehuda, it's a davar she'enei mischaven. Davar she'enei mischaven is aser. So the Gemara says, you could say, again, very simple. Iba is saying, maybe we're talking about a katan who doesn't have a beard. That's why he could wash panav yadav ra'av. The question is panav, assuming he has a beard. Viba is saying a be'isha, or maybe it's talking about an isha. Viba is saying a besaris, or a saris. For some reason, the Gemara didn't say, maybe he's just clean shaven. But either way, the Gemara says, either we're talking about a katan, or an isha, or a saris, and the bottom line is, it's for that reason, it would be mut. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, afer leveinasa shari. A person is allowed to wash his beard on Shabbos using afer leveinasa. So Rashi says, that means a crushed brick. So a crushed brick is the dust of the brick. That would be mot. I'm Rav Yosef. Kusma de yasmin shari. You're allowed to use the psoilus of shumshamin. Sesame pulp. I'm Rava. Rava said, offer pulpuli shari. You're allowed to use a crushed pepper. I'm Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said, barda shari. You're allowed to use barda, pun intended, to wash your beard. Says the Gemara, my barda. What exactly is barda? I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said it had the following ingredients. Tilsa nahala. It was made up of one third of aloe. Vitilsa asa. A third of it was asa, as in adasim. Vitilsa sigli. And a third of it was violet. I'm Rav Nechem by Yosef. Kolecha deleka ruba ahala. As long as you don't have roiv ahala, shapidami, it's going to be mutter. Boy, me name Rav Sheshes. Ma'ul if tsoya zeisim shabbos. What's the loch? Are you allowed to crush zeisim on Shabbos or not? So Rashi says people would take zeisim and they would hit it on a rock because it sweetened the zayas. So the question is, could you do that on Shabbos? I'm going to say, told him, Rav Sheshes, I don't understand your question. I don't even think you're allowed to do this during the week. Why? Because the Gemara says, probably Shum Hefsad Oichlin. He was worried about Baltashkis. So Gemara, let me put you the Shmuel. It sounds like he's arguing with Shmuel. Oh, my Shmuel said, Oisad and Kotzarka Paz. You're allowed to do whatever you want with bread. So if you can do whatever you want with bread, why shouldn't you be able to do whatever you want with a Zayas? But the Gemara says, no, Amri Paz, Le Meisa Hanim Isa. There's a difference between bread and Zaysim. Bread doesn't become disgusting if you use it for other things. But a Zayas will. So there's an Indian of Bizoy Oichlin. Bizoy Oichlin. That's something you would have with a zayas. It's not something you would have with bread. Armeima umar zutra v'ravashi haviyasvi. They were sitting together. This next gemara is a fascinating gemara. Aisul kamayu barda. And they brought barda. So barda was this thing that Chazal say you're allowed to wash your beard with on Shabbos. So the gemara says, armeima v'ravashi mashu. Armeima v'ravashi, they used this barda to wash their beard. Marzutra loy mashu. Marzutra didn't want to. Amrule. So they told Marzutra, they said, loy sovala mar lohod amirav sheish is barda shah. It's mutter. What are you worried about? Amalusi, Rab Mordechai. So Rab Mordechai was sitting there, and he said, "Bar minei demar." Don't bring rayas from him. He wouldn't even do it during the week. He would never wash his beard. Even during the week, he wouldn't. Says the Gemara, why? Because Mazutra held you had the time, you like the following brisa. If a person has tzoya on his body, or he has a wound on his body, he's allowed to scrape it off. If he's doing it because he's in pain. But in Bishvil the Yafos, if he's doing it to make himself look handsome, usser, then it's going to be usser. So he said, no, Bar does nothing to do with Hilchas Shabbos. This is something that he wouldn't even do during the week. Says the Gemara, the Inu commands of Ruah. Okay, they held that you're allowed to do it during the week. You're even allowed to do it on Shabbos. Why? So the Gemara says, they held Kihad the time, they held like the following Braisa. A person's allowed to wash his face and his hands and his feet every day, Bishvil Koinoi, for HaKadosh Baruch. Because the pasuk says, "Kol poyal Hashem limaneu," and a person has to make himself look nice before Hashem, and it's for that reason. This is something that's not only mutter to do on during the week; it's something that's mutter to do on Shabbos. Either way, there was a fundamental debate amongst these amirim: should a person try to make himself look nice? Or to the contrary, no, even during the week, I would never do it. Yeah, Mishum Tsar, then maybe yet. But if it's not a question of Tsar, this is something that you're not supposed to do. So we're going to get back to this Gemara, but let's just finish the daf. So the Mishnah again, going back to the Mishnah, which discusses Hatmana in Gizei Tzemer. So Gizei Tzemer is Muktzah. So if you're going to do Hatmana in Gizei Tzemer, you have a little bit of an issue. So the first thing the Mishnah said is, if the handle is sticking out, so you can use the handle to flip off the Gizei Tzemer, and like this, you won't have a problem. The question is the next step. Now, I flipped off the handle. I want to take the pot out of the box where this is all taking place. If I take it out, there's another concern. The concern is that maybe the walls, the Gizei Tzemer, are going to collapse. If the Gizei Tzemer are going to collapse, I'm not going to be able to put the food back in. Because ordinarily, if I did Atmana before Shabbos and I want to put it back in on Shabbos, that's mutter, right? Just to be clear. Why is that mutter? It's no different than Chazar. You always allowed to do Chazar on Shabbos, according to Beis Hillel, you know, Grufa Ketumah, etc. So that in of itself wouldn't be a problem. The reason there may be an issue is because the sides of this kupa, where you did your hatman, is lined with Gizei Tzemer, hence the issue. And there's a little bit of a concern that it may collapse. On the mission, there was a machlekes tana on what you're supposed to do. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, Kupa mata al tzida v'noitel. What you should do is you shouldn't remove the k'teira, but rather you should take the k'teira, take the box. So again, just to visualize this, you have a pot that's inside a box that's lined with Gizei Tzemer. So the Gizei Tzemer itself is a dover, that's muktzah. It's enemies of hevel. That's where you're allowed to do this. So again, pot that's
inside a box, that's lying with Gizei Tzemer. We're concerned that if you remove the pot, the Gizei Tzemer are going to collapse, and then you're not going to be able to put it back, because you can't be metaltal the Gizei Tzemer. So Rav Lozman and Azari said, just tip it on the side, that's what you should do. Chum said, no worries, says the Gemara. Amar Rabba Abba, Amar Rabchi Bar Rashi, Amar Rav. Hakom Oidim, everybody agrees. Shem Niskal Kla Aguma She'asol HaHachs. Everybody agrees that the Gizei Tzemer is Muktzah. So if you're going to remove the pot, and the Gizei Tzemer are going to fall to the bottom of this Koopa, you're not going to be able to move the Gizei Tzemer, right? There's no machloikis about it. Says the Gemara, that's so simple. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, if nothing happened, then of course it could be noitel umachzer. Shapakami rabbanon. Elolav, afal pidin eskal kol aguma. Right? What are the chacham telling Rav Lozman Azari? I'm not worried about it. Just take it out and put it back in. It sounds like even if it would collapse, you'd be able to move the Gizei Tzemer, which is not what Rab Abba said in the name of Chibar Rashi, in the name of Rab, the Gemara says, Loi, that's not what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah means very simple. Lo'ilam the Loi Niskalkala. Meaning everybody agrees if the Gizei Tzemer would fall to the bottom of the Kupa, you'd have a problem. Machloika says, would you have to be concerned that's going to happen? Or do you not have to be concerned it's going to happen? Marsov, as I was worried that it might happen. Marsov, the Chachamim were not worried that it's going to happen. But Avada, if it happens, again, the Machloika was, the Chachamim is, do you have to be concerned? Is there a real chashash that maybe the Gizei Tzemer is going to fall to the ground and now you're going to pick it up and you're going to come to be metalto muktzah? Rav Lozman Azari is worried about that. Chama not worried about it. Chama say that if it falls, then you won't put it back in. You'll know not to be metalto muktzah. And as a result, they weren't worried about this. Omer Rafuna, hay slikusta. If somebody has a slikusta, so what exactly was this? So Rashi explains it in great detail. He describes it as a grass that people used to look at and people would smell. This grass, this whatever it was inside offer. And they would pass it around the table during the meal, and whoever wanted it would pull it out of the offer, he would take a sniff, and he would put it back in. So the question is, are you allowed to use it on Shabbos? Are you not allowed to use it on Shabbos? Can I take it in and out of the offer or not? Now, the Gemara is discussing it from the standpoint of muktzah. So what would be the tzad? You shouldn't be able to do it from muktzah, because there's a concern that maybe when you take it out, the offer, the walls are going to collapse again. The inyan le'inyan ba'isa inyan. And as a result, you're causing the offer to move. So there may be some sort of mukta ramification here. So Rav Huna said it depends. Haisli kusta dotsa sholfa v'hada dotsa shari. If you took it in and out a few times before Shabbos, then it's mutter. Why? Because now already you created a nice little hole for it to go in and out of. So like this, you're not going to collapse the offer on Shabbos. It's not a problem. Meaning if it's too tight, then maybe it's going to be an issue. But once you opened up that area, Erev Shabbos, it's not going to be a problem. Shmuel said a similar halacha. So people used to keep their knives sometimes between the rows of bricks. You have a little cement there, you have some soft offer there. They would stick it in there sometimes. So are you allowed to put it in and out on Shabbos? Again, from the muktzah perspective, what's the concern? You're moving offer. So again, if you played with it before Shabbos, sure, it's going to be mutavilav, it's going to be awesome. He said a similar halacha. If somebody wants to keep his knife in a bundle of reeds, it's mutter, it's not something that you have to worry about. Now, what would be the concern? So Rashi says over here, the concern was not muktzah. The concern was something else. That maybe as you pull your knife out of the reeds, it could be the reed is going to cause, or the knife is going to cause a little bit of the reed to peel, and you'll be chayev. Rashi says mishum moichek, but it means memachek. You may peel it a little bit. So is there a concern when you whip the knife out that maybe something's going to happen? So mutter. Amalei Rav Mar Chalei Rava, Matzah Rav Katina, Rav Katina asked Akasha, not just Akasha, a tiyufta. He asked a checkmate question on the aforementioned. Somebody takes lefes tzlonis, different vegetables, and he hides it underneath a vineyard. If you can see, if some of it is exposed, some of the leaves of the lefes of the tzlonis, then it's, you have nothing to worry about. There's no kalayim issue. What would be the potential kalayim issue? Kilei akerem. You're not allowed to plant a fruit or a vegetable together with a vineyard. This was underneath a geffen. All you did was hatmana. You didn't plant it. So if they didn't plant it, there's no kalayim issue. V'loy mishum shvias. There's no shmita issue. What would be the shmita issue? You're not allowed to plant on shmita. V'loy mishum meiser. This is interesting. There's also no meiser issue. There would have been a havamina that if you replanted it, so maybe you have to be mafresh meiseris again. There's no meiser issue. Additionally, v'nitolim b'shabbos. You don't have to worry about removing it on Shabbos. You can remove it on Shabbos. Says the Gemara tiyufta. What's the tiyufta? Rashi, right before the Mishnah, the last wide line, we're not worried that the offer might move. If that's the case, for who adin lisli kusta and the sakina, so you see there's no concern when it comes to muksa, shema yaz's offer, exhale. So just two light ha'aras as it relates to today's daf. So yesterday we promised that we would go back to Elisha Bal Knafayim and talk out, you know, some of the major aid that we have on daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph. with regards to tefillin, and some of the major aid that we have in Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis regarding the origin of the Lamed Tes Melachos. Is it related to the 39 Melachos HaChashuvos in the Mishkan, or is it related to the 39 times that it says Melacha in the Torah? For now, we will have overpromised and underdelivered, and rather than go back to Daf Mem Tes, my apologies, just a little bit of light rain. We'll talk a little bit about tefillin, but just a little bit of light rain. And that is, the Gemara said on Daf Nun Amud Beis, the Gemara told a very interesting story. Amemar u'marzucha v'ravashi haviyosfu. They were sitting together. Aisu l'kamayu barda. So it seems like they must have been eating a meal. And somebody brought barda. Barda was something that was used to clean your beard. It was one of the things that Amiram said you're even allowed to use on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Amemar ravashi mashu. Amemar ravashi took it. Marzucha loy mashu. Didn't want to take it. So the Chum assumed that the reason he didn't want to take it is because it was Shabbos Kodesh, and as a result, maybe he holds Barda's Osir. So they told him, don't you know Rav Sheshis, the great Rav Sheshis, Paskin, Barda Shari, there's no Marzucha, you're going not like Rav Sheshis. So the Gemara said, Marzucha didn't say anything. But there was another Amir there, Rav Mordechai. And Rav Mordechai, he got up and he told the Chevri, he says, don't chepen Marzucha. This has nothing to do with Shabbos, this has nothing to do with Barda. Because Rav Sheshis didn't clean his beard, afilu b'chol. Why? So of Allah, because he holds like the following brayso. A person is allowed to clean Gildei Tzoya and Gildei Maka on his basar if he's doing it Bishvil Tzaroi. But in Bishvil Yafis, if he's doing it to make himself look nice, Aser, it's going to be Aser. The Inu commands of Ruah. Okay, now they held it's Mutter. I thought it's a brayso that says it's Aser. They held like another brayso. Reichetz Adam Panu Yadav Raglav B'chol Yoyim Bishvil Koinoi. A person's allowed to wash Panu Yadav Raglav every single day Bishvil Koinoi. Why? Because the pasuk says Kol Poyel Hashem L'maneo. So there was a machloikis between two brises, which trickled down to a machloikis amayram, whether you're allowed to wash your beard even during the week to make yourself look nice or not. Mazutra held it's terrible. You're not allowed to do it. And the other amayram, they held Amema Ravashi, that it's mutter, not just it's mutter, you're supposed to do it. It's a lekatchila, roich, it's adam, pon of yodav ragla b'chol yoyim b'shvil koine. So what exactly was this machlokes over here? So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says as follows. Mazutra held its osur. You know why? Because the pasuk says, lo yilbash gever simlas isha. The pasuk says that a man is not allowed to wear woman's clothing. And the tan of that braisa, and Marzucha were of the opinion that it doesn't just mean that a man is not allowed to wear woman's clothing, but it means that a man is not supposed to beautify himself. He's not supposed to make himself look nice in the same way that women do. And as a result, he felt that you're not supposed to clean your beard. Okay, so what did the other brisa hold? What did Amemar and Rav Ashi hold? They held just the opposite. They held that a person's supposed to make himself look nice, bishvil koinoi. Zok Rashi, why? Because they held that man was created in the image of Hashem. And being that you're a Tzelem Elokim, you have to make that Tzelem Elokim look beautiful. If you had a Kadosh Baruch, or you had a Tzaddik, a Chasha person staying in your house, you would take care of that person. You would give him the nicest and the finest and the best things in the world. Your housing, your guf has in it a Tzelem Elokim. So if you have a Tzelem Elokim, you have to make sure your guf looks nice and handsome. It's something that you have a responsibility to do. Keep it Tzelem Elokim, Asa Asa Adam. And as much as, of course, we downplay the guf, but at the same time, you have to walk that balance and realize that the guf houses in it to tell him like him. So they held the chvoid koine. It's just the opposite. And then Rashi says another pshat. He says the araya briyoy snois oime baruch shakach alei bai lamai. It's a Gemara Masechtas Brachas Daf Nun Ches, where the Gemara goes through all the different interesting brachas, and one of them is if someone says sees briyoy snois, so he's supposed to make a bracha shakach alei bai lamai. So if you're going to look handsome, you're giving people an opportunity to make this bracha. So if you're giving people an opportunity to make this bracha, that's another reason that you should make yourself look nice. I saw in the Maritz Chios on this Gemara right here, Rav Tzvi Hirsch Chayes. See, he says, "Velule Pirish Rashi." I have a different shot. Maybe why a person should be roichetz panav yadav raglav every day, specifically bishvil koinoi. He says, "You know why? Because I'll skip a little bit. The reason is because if a person it takes care shem rochatz panav yadav raglav b'chol yoyim, then you know what's going to happen? He's going to have good hygiene." And if he's going to have good hygiene, yishmar atzmoy min riboy hazu amo. Val yideze yishmar gufoy mecholoy. And if that's his kavana, there's no question reshus or mitzvah hulai. He says, because a person has a responsibility to do whatever he can do to be healthy. And if a person doesn't clean himself, he's not going to be healthy. Nikius is an integral part of health. And as a result, says the Maritz Chiyos, he says, that's the idea of bishvil koit koinai. A person has to take care of himself. Ushmar tamayla nafshei seichem. Specifically with regards to hygiene. Fascinating. So he says, you want to know pshat in this Gemara? He held that you had to do it bishvil koit koinai because you had to be clean. So you have to walk that balance. But at the same time, that's what Tzvi Chaya says. It's poshut. You need good hygiene. This is the concept of roichet pan of yad v'raglav. I think this plays it very much into what we were talking about the other day with regards to showers on Yontif and whether it is a dabar hashava l'chol nefesh or it's not a dabar hashava l'chol nefesh. But either way, here's a maramakim that to be roichet pan of yad v'raglav isn't just a question of something that people do every day, but it's a question of brios. There's a hygiene factor, and he says that's why a memer and Rav Ashi were very medactic. That's pshad in this brisa. But what did Marzutra hold? Marzutra held not that way. Why? Because he held at the end of the day, it's a lois sasei. What do you want me to do? It says in the Torah, lo yulbash gever sem lasisho. So if it says lo yulbash gever sem lasisho, so at the end of the day, this is not something that you're able to do. Now the truth is, the posh pshad in this pasuk is sometimes people forget. It says in the Torah, lo yulbash kli gever al isho, v'lo yulbash gever sem lasisho, ki toyevas Hashem olikecho kol oise elo. So the pasuk mentions two lavin. One is talking to the woman, and the other one is talking to the man. Lo yilbash lo yiyeh kli gever alisha. A woman is not allowed to have kli gever. What does that mean? So if you look at all the Rishonim on Chumash, they all say it's referring to a sword or a knife or ammunition, clay zion. That's Pash Pashat, what the Pasuk is referring to. In fact, Eben Ezra says, that's the smichas, the beginning of the Pashas. It's right in the beginning of Pashas Kiseitze. So Pashas Kiseitze, he starts Kiseitze, Lam Lucham Aloy Vecho, and then Vesamach Le says that Eben Ezra, Lo Yia Kli Gever, Aloy Yisha, because that's Pash Pashat. That's what Pash Pashat is. In fact, it's a true for a Moshe, if the women and people that live in settlements in Eretz Yisrael where it's dangerous. So you want to know if it's mutter to, but there's different tshuvas with regard. I think it's a tshuva from Bavad Yosef. But either way, the point is that the posh pshat in the pasuk is la yil kli zayin kli mulchama. That's what it's referring to. La yil kli gever alisha for la yil bash gever sim lasisha. And a man is not allowed to wear the clothing of a woman. Why? The pasuk gives a reason. So most psukim the Torah doesn't give a reason. Here it says ki toyev as Hashem alikecho kolay se'ela. And Rashi says la yil the only time there's a problem is if a man is going to wear a woman's clothing and he's going to use it as an opportunity to mingle amongst women, which is going to bring lidei toyeva. It's in that context that this is a problem. That's the pashup shot in the pasuk. Stating that, if you take a look in the Targum Unkelis, says the Targum Unkelis, what does it mean? Lo yilbash gever simlas isha v'lo yisaken gevar betikune itza. It doesn't just mean a man's not allowed to wear woman's clothing. Lo yisakin gevar b'tikune yitzah. Any tikune yitzah. Anything that a woman does, a man is not allowed to do. And it's for that reason the Gemara says there's certain body hairs that a man is not allowed to shave, because these are considered tikune yitzah. It has nothing to do with lo yubash gevar simla. It's not a simla. What does it have to do with a simla? Ein mikro yitzah midei pshutai. The unkelis that's always mefarish to pshutei shel mikra, over here he wasn't mefarish to kipshutei. He said, "V'lo yisakin gvar betikune yitzah." Either way, it's a very important targum unkelis. His gemaras that flow from targum unkelis was said mipi Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. It traces itself back to the Tanakh. But the point is that this is the pashup shot in the pasuk. Says the unkelis, "V'lo yubash gever sim lasisha, v'lo yisakin gvar betikune yitzah." And over the years, we've talked about: is a man allowed to look in a mirror? How about is a man allowed to dye his hair? Again, vadvarim atikin ve'inkam. It's not something to go into right now. But just to digress a little bit and move it along. So the Targum Unkelis on the Pasuk, for lo yilbash gever sim lasisha, says not just you can't wear woman's clothing, but rather lo yisakin gvar betikune yitzah. And that was the premise to what Rav Ashi said, to what Marzutra said in our Gemara. But there's also a very well-known and a very important Targum Yonasan on this Pasuk. Not on the second part of the Pasuk, but on the first part of the Pasuk. Lo yia kli gever alisha. So a woman is not allowed to wear kli gever. What does that mean? Says the Targum Yonasan, lo yehevoin gulyon de tzitzes utfilin. A woman's not allowed to wear tzitzes. A woman's not allowed to wear tefillin. The hinun tikune gvar alito. Because these are considered kli gever. So if a woman's not allowed to wear kli gever, says Targum Yonasan, you know what kli gever is? Kli gever is tzitzes. Kli gever is tefillin. And if that's the case, there's a very obvious question based on yesterday's raid. And that is, we mentioned yesterday that Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber and Simon Yud Zayin says that if a woman wants to wear tzitzes, she can wear tzitzes. Not just that, Ramah says you make a bracha. It's not different than any other mitzvah's esh has mangaram. Mechzik yura.
But other than you are for sure, it's okay. In Hilchas Tefillin, the Mechaber says the same thing, that in theory you can wear tefillin. However, there the Rama already comes down strong and he says women shouldn't wear tefillin, but that's related more to Nikios, it's related more to other things. But certainly, from a pure halachic standpoint, tzitzis and tefillin are treated no differently than any other mitzvahs esesh as man gerama. The kasha is, there's a Targum Yonason. Targum Yonason says, lo yeh kli gever al isha, lo yeh heven gulyon de tzitzis u tefillin. Which would seem to say that if a woman with tzitzis is a woman with tefillin, she'd be over a loisase of lo yeh kli gever al isha. So how you talking? How is it possible the poskim don't bring this Targum Yonason? Now it is quoted in certain areas, but the mainstream halacha, there's no Targum Yonason. So if there's no Targum Yonason, what happened? Targum Yonason is Yonason ben Azil. So if it's Yonason ben Azil, then l'chura should be a problem. But the teretz is that it's really not so simple that Targum Yonason is Yonason ben Azil. And we have a raid bite on this, I believe, somewhere. But the point is that it's Yodua that the Chidah in many of his Svarim, most notably in his Shailos Hetshuvos, Chaim Shaul, it's Ois Lamites. He Simon Lamites, he talks Ba'arichos about the Targum Yonason, and he says that the Kabbalah amongst the Tzadikim war, that even though Targum Yonason was called Targum Yonason, it has nothing to do with Yonason ben Azil. The context in which the Chidah said it is another Targum Yonason in the same parsha, also in Parshas Kiseitze. So in the end of Parshas Kiseitze, you have all the, you have Seder Noshim, you have Gittin, you have Kedushin, you have Yavamis, right? It gets, you have Seder Nezikin is in Parshas Mishpatim, and Seder Noshim, for the most part, is in Parshas Kiseitze. So the pasuk talks about get. Everyone knows the pasuk. Ki yigach ishishu ba'ala v'hayim leisin tzachim be'enob, ki matzah ba'ervas davar, v'kosav la'seif ekrisos, v'nasam v'yadam v'shulcham yibesoy. In that one pasuk, you have two mesechtes, Kedushin and Gittin. Says the Targum Yonason, arum yisav gvar ito v'yeol ala, v'hei inlo hashkas rachmin be'enoy, arum ashkach be'averos pisco. Okay, punchline. So it comes time to write the get. V'yichtov la, Sefer Teiruchin Kodom Beidina. You should write a get in front of a bezdin. V'yitim b'rishus v'yashal yosami beisei. Targum Yonason says that when you write a get, you have to give it in front of bezdin. Now we know from Masechtas Gittin, there's machlokes, Rabbi Loz and Rabbi Meir, Edich Sima Karti, Edim Asire Karti. But does a get have to be given in front of bezdin? Now maybe get m'dina sayom sorach shiyom Rabbi Fanei Nechtav u'Bafanei Nechtam. So then there's already a consideration. Maybe you have to do it in front of a bezdin. It's kiyum shtaris maybe. But ordinarily, does a get sidur? A get has to be done in front of a bezdin or not? If you go through Shulchan Aruch Evin Ezer, there's no reference anywhere that a get has to be done in front of bezdin. The Urim V'Tumim, Rabbi Yonis and Ibishitz writes that I believe a get has to be done in bezdin. And even though the poskim didn't quote it anywhere and it's not brought down, but I hold the get has to be in bezdin. He says, you know why? Because it's a Targum Yonison. I mean that it's a Targum Yonison. He threw in those words. He threw in those words in that, on that pasuk. The yichtav la sefer teiruchim kodam beidina. So you see from there that a get has. So he says, how are we going to go against a? How are we going to go against a Targum Yonison? Said the Chidah and the Chaim Shaul. He said that omnam beroiv tfutzis Yisrael. He said the minhag always was not to do that. He says, why? He says, the reason is, devadai ein lochosh, because kivan de betalmudin kamar ipcha, from Gemara's, it certainly doesn't say you need bezdin, and if anything, there's the rayas, he says, that you don't need bezdin, va'ik. So if that's the case, don't worry about it. The reason is because this Targum really is not from Yonason ben Azil. So if there's nothing against it, then yeah, it's one thing maybe. But to go keneged Shasu Poiskim, it's not something you have to worry about. So if you have sugyas in Shas, which are mashma, not like a Targum Yonason, said the Chaim Shaul, said the Chidah, you don't worry about it. Now the truth is, the minute in Klai Yisrael, you do give a get in front of a bezdin. But he says that's for different reasons. That's because there could be mistakes. You just want to make sure someone's overseeing the process. But there's no din bezdin. It's not dine mominus b'shloisha. It's not mentioned in the first Mishnah, Masechtas Gittin. So the point is that this is something that's a, it's an extra credit that makes sense practically. But again, if the Targum Yonason is going keneged sugyas hashas, we don't have to worry about the Targum Yonason said the Chidah. If that's the case, it's pasha. Why this Targum Yonason wasn't brought down in Halacha? Because the sugyas hashas, the Gemara we mentioned yesterday, Erev in Tzadik Vav Amud Aleph of Michal Bas Kushi, where you find a major discussion: is it a mitzvah seishes man gerama? It's not a mitzvah seishes man gerama. Is Laila's man tefillin? Is Shabbos Viyantiv's man tefillin? It's a big time machlokes tanon. If there's a Targum Yonason that says that it's that it, forget about mitzvah seishes man gerama, it goes into the loisaseh of kli gever. Then this is a moot point. Then why are we even having this conversation? The teretz is that this is a Targum Yonason that's keneged Shas And if it's a targum yonis that's connected shas, here we have the chidah and his chayim shol and simon lametas. He talks about this in others farm as well. But this is, I think, an obvious tushtel. And based on this chidah, that would be the reason why you have a mechaber and simon yudzayin and a mechaber and simon lametas. If women can with tzitzis, they can. Yet fill and not fill and mitzvah. Shemang garama, brocha, no brocha. Nikios, what do you mean? It's a loisaseh. The teretz is, it's not yonis and menazio, and it's not something that the chachamim were ever concerned with in the event that it contradicted in any way, shape, or form anything that's mefurish in a gemara. That's the first ha'ara. The second light ha'ara is, the gemara mentioned on the bottom of daf memtes amid beis, Rava said a comment. The head of today's daf started with a comment that Rava made regarding gizei tzemer and muksa. And the gemara said that someone asked the kasha on Rava. Who? Esavei ahum merabonon bar yoyme l'Rava. There was someone that was a merabonon who was a bar yoyme. Rashi says, oisei ayoyim bala beis medrash. It was his first day in beis medrash. It's his first day in beis medrash. He knocked it out of the park. He asked a question, and everybody, mamish, he made a tremendous tumult. Two pshatim in Rava, two pshatim in the Mishnah. This was his first day in beis medrash. If you take a look in the Maseres Hashas, the Maseres Hashas quotes the Aruch. Pirish Acha, a different pshat. Rav Idi Hava. You know who it was? It wasn't someone who happened to have been his first day in Beis Medrash, someone who goes down Be'ilum Shemot. No. It's someone, we know his name. It was Rav Idi. Davakorali Bar Be Rav Dechad Yoima. And Rav Idi was known in Shas as a Bar Be Rav Dechad Yoima. Ayin Chagiga Daf Hei Amid Beis. And it says, take a look at Chagiga Daf Hei Amid Beis, and there you'll see that Rav Idi was known as a Bar Be Rav Bechad Yoyim. So what's the Gemara in Chagiga Daf Hei Amid Beis? The Gemara there tells the story. Rav Idi, Avua de Rav Yaakov Bar Idi. Rav Idi, who was Rav Yaakov Bar Idi's father, Havarogel Davul Ozel Tarchi, Tosa Yarchi Be'urcha, Bechad Yoyim Be Rav. He lived very, very far from Beis Medrash. He had a very long commute. His commute took him 3 months. So Rashi says he would leave after Pesach. He would travel for 3 months. He'd come to Beis Medrash. He would spend one day in Beis Medrash. And that was time to go home. And he traveled 3 months back. The Gemara says, they used to call him Rabban and Bar Be Rav Dechad Yoyma. They used to call him the Bar Be Rav Dechad Yoyma. And the Gemara says, Cholish Daite, Yet Chalishas Hadas. Kara Nafshe, and he quoted on himself the Pasik, Schoiklu Reyeu, I was a Galechte. All my friends used to make fun of me. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rabbi Yochanan told him, Matusiminoch, Leitanish Lulu Rabbanon. He says, make sure, don't have a paid on the Rabbanon. I don't want anyone to have to suffer because of the fact that they're embarrassing you. He said, the Pasuk says, If a person learns Torah even one day a year, it's considered as if he learned Torah the entire year. So Rabbi Yochanan was Menachem Rav Idi, but either way, Rav Idi was someone who traveled 3 months, spent a day in Beis Medrash, traveled another 3 months, and then they made fun of him. They called him the Bar Be Rav Dechad Yoyma. And Rabbi Yochanan was mechazik, and he said, you learned Torah even for one day. It's malol of akotav as if you learned the whole year. Says the Aruch, you want to know who this Hahume Rabbanon Dechad Yoyma was? It wasn't someone like Rashi says. No, this was Rav Idi. Rest of the story is that Gemara in Masechtas Chagiga Daf Hei Amid Beis. I saw in the Shmuzin of Rav Meshulam David Alevi, it's in Rav David Soloveitchik, so he was giving a shmooze about Mesiras Nefesh. He was giving a shmooze about digging deeper, and a person should do more than he thinks he's really capable of doing when it comes, obviously, to his Avodas Hashem. It comes to his learning. So he says like this, he brings this Gemara, Chagig Daf Hei Amid Beis, about Ravi Idi Avuah de Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, that he spent one day in Beis Medrash, 3 months this way, 3 months that way. He comes out with 2 days a year. So he says, and he became Ravi Idi. He became someone great. So he said, how did it happen? So he said, "Vapshat b'zehu dekifim midos hamesiris nefesh leToyrah sheyesh laAdam kach zoicha lahavin ulahasik b'Toyrah vekivon shemasar nafshei ala Toyrah leleches b'meshach shechimul chadashim kedei lomoid zocha lahasik b'yoy mechad mashacherim masigim b'chamachad shayim." He says, when a person is moisa nefesh for something, he has an unbelievable siyata deshmaya, and he can accomplish sometimes in a short amount of time what other people can't accomplish in a much longer amount of time. And he says, I'll give you one other example of this. The chemot sinu b'Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinus, kimavur b'pirkei the Rabbi Eliezer, shayu ben chof ches shana. He was 28 years old. V'lo yada, and he didn't know like kriyashma v'lo tefila. V'acha kach zocha lidreish Torah, upanav me'irois ka'ar hachama. He became the great Rabbi Eliezer. U'mashe zocha lezeh. why did he merit this? Mishum she masar nafsho al ha-toyro. Kemavua shom kama hisana ubocha al kach sheyizka lil mo'toyro. Umikoyach mesiris nefesh zu. Zocha lehagia ledargo gavoya zu. Afsha begil chof cheshona. When he was 28. Adayin lo yod afilu kriya shema shel tefila. Just a little more of the rest of the story. And then he goes on, Reb David, and he went on this long shtickle about how once upon a time people were mice and nefesh, and we take for granted how good we have it and how easy it is for us to learn today. I think it's worth just reading a few excerpts. He says, "V'hinei pam be'emes ha'yolaim demesiris nefesh." He says, "Once upon a time, Bachram used to learn b'mesiris nefesh." The etzem adava shabacha halach lumay b'yeshiva kvar haya b'mesiris nefesh. He said the fact that someone was willing to enroll in a yeshiva, that already was a b'mesiris nefesh. Zichurani mi brisk. He says, "I remember in brisk, eksha bachurei ha'yeshiva is haya mevuzim be'inei ha'koil." He says, "I remember the bachram, this is in brisk." Right? You think of brisk, that's like the days of yore. Right? Once upon a time, brisk. Said Rav David, "I'll tell you what I remember in brisk. A yeshiva bachur was a mevuzah. Ha'kol kori lehem batlonim v'leid degeyers." In Barak Mishalomad Madoyim be university, Hoya Adam Nichbad. But a person that learned in yeshiva, he was looked down on. Ukshabo Luma be yeshiva, Hoya Primia, Veloicheder Oichel, Elohitrichem Lechel, Eitz of Alabatim. They even have food, Velishon, Al Safsul Beis Medrash. People used to often have to sleep on the benches. Mishaloy Hoya Messirus Nefesh, Lotoyer Mikoro Loyachel, Hoya Luma be Matzevze. If you didn't have Messirus Nefesh, you couldn't start. You couldn't even walk into Beis Medrash. Ubeshiduchim, he says, when it came to Shaduchim, Matzu Bnei Yeshivas, Hoya Garua. It was even worse. Hanairus Loy Rotsu Lishatim Bacher Yeshivas, Shalay Yaviu Parnasa Besa. Girls didn't want to marry a Bacher. The Hikarti Rav Mipoilim, he says, I remember a very Chashiv Rav, he took a Soicher as an Edom. He said, even he didn't want to take a Talmud Chacham Omnam. Afsha Hoya Matzu Garua, Mikom Makim God was Betoyer Ma'oit. He says, they stived away, despite the fact that the situation was very adverse. Vatamu Mishum Shalandu Mimisiris Nefesh. Vahisa Shifa Legadlos, Hoya Kaelu. He says, I remember there were people that they wanted to be Bekiyim, they wanted to be a Sinai. And they used to horror. And everyone had a Shifa to be great. The Ilu Kayoim, he says, but today, he says, great to be Yeshiva Bacher. Hagvirim, he says, all the wealthy people, Muchanim Lossis, Kol Hain Da'alma. He says they're willing to underwrite anything if they can find a chashuv eidim to do a shidduch with. He says not just that. He says even the girls today they're already getting a good chinuch bashkofa nechayna v'roitzis lihinasi leben toira kacha matziv kayoin. He says that's what's going on today. Needless to say, Rav David said, but that's. Unfortunately, as it relates to the Mesiris Nefesh, it's not translating, etc., etc. I'll just skip around a little bit. He says later, Talmidei Yeshivas Nevardik Shalpam Hoyu Pe'ilim Oid. He says the Altaf Nevardik believed that the Nevardik Talmidim they should go out, they should spread the word, they should go and try to be makar of people. V'hochu mimakim lemakim lehakim yeshivos. Upam Amar lehem asabul Rabbi Yozel. So the Altaf from Nevardik once told this Talmidim. This is unbelievable. He said in Bedarkechem Tiskelu. He says if you're going to find any obstacle, any obstruction along the way of what you're trying to accomplish, du lechem, I want you to internalize the following in Yiddish. As min kenish da ribergein, muzmin a ribergein. He said, that's what you have to internalize. He said, that's Mesiris Nefesh. That if you feel you can't go vayta, you know what that means? You have no choice and you have to go vayta. I can't go vayta. That's it. You fold, right? No, just the opposite. As mekenish thy rib again, muzmina, this is a shmuz from Rav David Soloveitchik. He said, this over from the Alta Ben Avardik. Then he tells one more story. I mean, there's so much here, but just one more story. He says, I heard a story from a Talmud Rav Issa Zalman. He said that he remembers that there were a few Yungalite, they were sitting by the Briskerov. And the Briskerov, in the middle of the sitting with the Chevra, so he had the Sefer Meshav Dover. So who wrote the Meshav Dover? The Netziv. It was sitting on the desk of the Briskerov. Briskerov was an inical of the Netziv. And he said the Briskerov picked up the Sefer Meshav Dover and he started going, mishing the pages. And as he was going through the pages, he turned to the Chevra and he says, I don't understand. It amazes me. He says, how the Netziv was able to accomplish so much. The Netziv was an unbelievable bucky. He says, it's unbelievable how he accomplished so much Gaonis. And he says, not just that. He says, you know, I know he had to run the Velashen Yeshiva. It took up so much of his time. And he says, I don't understand. Look at us. We learn and we harva, we try so hard, and what do we know already? We accomplish a little bit. Look at what the Netziv did. He said it was unbelievable. And they told then the Briskerov told them a pshat. But the Talmidim, they couldn't make out exactly what the Briskerov said. So they went to Rabbi Zalman and they repeated to him, what happened? And the Rebbe Zalman said, so what did Brisker Rav say? He said, we couldn't understand. We couldn't make out what the Brisker Rav said. So he said, Rebbe Zalman got angry. He said, he says, but I'm going to tell you Pshat and the Netziv. He said, Pshat and the Netziv is because we don't realize how different we are today than people once were. He says, I'm going to tell you a story. He said, I lived in Volozhin. And he said, Volozhin was a very small city. There were very small houses made out of wood. And he says, I remember there was once a fire in Volozhin. Everybody started running. And as I see everybody start running, he said, I saw the son of Rabbi Itzel Ha'ofa, Rabbi Itzel the baker. So I see his son. He was very, very skinny. He says, Shayorazim Ma'oid, Mamish Arvad Samos, Rabbi David said. He was Arvad Samos. Shuhurats Kemay Kulan, he was running like everybody else, Venasa Al Gabe Bezanoshim. And he was carrying two people. The Chashavti Ozla Atzmir, Rabbi Zalman said. He said, I thought to myself, Minayan Liyelid Hatsonu Vaharoza Azek Koychis Lisa Anoshim Al Gabe. How could he do it? So Rabbi Zalman said, I'll tell you what the Teretz is. Nor, Veistir Vos the Teretz is, as brent a fire is showing Dok Koychis. That was what he told him. Rabbi brent a fire is Dok Koychis. So Rabbi Zalman told him, you want to know why the Netziv was so great? Because the Netziv woke up every morning and said, get brent a fire. And Rabbi brent a fire is Dok Koychis. He said, that's why the Vilna Gaon became the Vilna Gaon, and that's why there were such great people. He said, it was all Mesiris Nefesh. It all came from a fire. Rabbi brent a fire is Dok Koychis. Either way, that's just a little bit of Rabbi Shulam David's shmooze as it relates to digging deeper and when it seems like you can't go further and there's so many obstacles and there's so many things getting in your way and you stop feeling complacent, that's fine, but you're not going to get to where you can get. The way you get to where you can get is Ibsa Brenta fire. Ibsa Brenta fire, that's where greatness comes from.